morning, everyone. Welcome to our community worship service. We're so grateful to have you. Thankful for a beautiful morning. Thankful for this community event and that we can have a worship service together like this. I pray that each one of you would be blessed and encouraged by being here. My name is Pastor Phil Horning of Gehman Mennonite Church. We work together with Emmanuel EC and in helping to coordinate this service, and we hope that you're blessed. Please pray with me. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. God, we're so grateful for the town, the community, the region that we live in. We come here with grateful hearts for our community, and we do pray for it. Father, we ask that the people of this community would know you, they would experience your truth and love. God, we thank you for how you have shown yourself in our lives. We thank you also this morning, this weekend, for those who have served our country in various ways. God, we pray that we would be grateful for the blessings that we experience. We pray for people around the world who are experiencing violence or war, and we pray for peace. I thank you also for ministries in our community, and as we celebrate the ministry that you have had through Crossfire Youth Ministries, we pray that you would be honored and glorified, that you would continue to use Jim and that work in a mighty way for your kingdom. Pray that you would bless and protect and prosper it. And I pray for each person here, Lord, that you would help us to have hearts open and willing and ready to respond to your Spirit's leading in our lives and how you want to use us in the relationships that you've called us to. Commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And in opening, I just want to read one verse and share a word of encouragement from 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." If you're a follower of the Lord this morning, and He has called you out of darkness into His light. And part of our purpose, we each have a purpose, and part of that purpose is stated there. It says that you may declare the praises of Him. So a good chunk of this morning, Jim Horning of Crossfire Ministries is going to be sharing praises of what God has done through that work. And a question I'd encourage you to have in the back of your mind is, How would I declare God's praises of the things that He has done in and through my life? Amen. Maybe as the worship team comes forward, we're a varied group here, and there's people here you probably don't know. I'd invite you to stand and just take a few minutes and greet folks around you, say hello. That would be great.
morning. At this time, we're going to have the offering this morning. And it is for Crossfire Youth Ministries, which you guys will, if you don't know about them, you'll hear a little bit about them in a couple minutes. And also Acts of Love, which is a Cocalico area summer lunch program. So will you guys pray with me? God, we just want to come before you this morning. We just remember those who have served, that have given their lives, Lord God. And we thank you for blessing us with individuals that are willing to do that, God, that we sometimes take for granted the freedoms and the blessings that we have here. And we just want to take this time to remember that it is through other sacrifices that we have the freedoms and the blessings that we do have. And remember specifically the greatest sacrifice of all, which was your son, Jesus. The sacrifice that he gave his life for our ultimate freedom. We just want to lift up the offering to you this morning, Lord God, that you would use that to bring honor and glory to your name and to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you take your bulletin open to the middle, we're going to do the responsive reading. I'll read the parts in bold and you all can read the rest. Go home to your own people and tell them. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him.
I invite you forward at this time. Jim Horning has been leading a ministry called Crossfire Youth Ministry for at least 25 years. I'm not sure how many years before that God was bringing it up in his mind or that idea, but I'm sure he'll tell us a little bit about that maybe beginning. And I get weekly or monthly updates about the work that's being done there. The center has moved around a little bit in our community, and there's also a center in Ashland, Pennsylvania, and it's kind of incredible the impact that God has had through this work. Switching some things around, and then Jim can come forward when he's ready.
I'll move a little bit closer so I don't, that's way up there. Hey, thanks for being here this morning and for allowing me the opportunity to share. I have a couple of videos, short videos to play that'll put you right inside our facility and what we have for the kids in our community. Just a thought first. In Mark 2, there's a story of Jesus being at a house, and there were so many people there that no one could get in. And so some friends brought a paralyzed man, and they couldn't get in the house, so they go up on the roof, dig a hole, lower their friend down. And Jesus touches him and heals him, and he walks out. And so some thoughts on that were, just a lot of questions, is all the people that were standing there, didn't they know that Jesus could heal this guy, and why didn't they part their crowd and say, come right in through the door? Was it the paralyzed man or one of his four friends who said, hey, let's get our friend to Jesus because he will heal him? Was it the paralyzed guy who said, come on, guys, get me there? Or was it one of the friends who said, hey, if we got our buddy to Jesus, he would heal him? And when they get there, who was the one that said, hey, let's take him up on the roof and dig a hole in the roof? And the others would say, what? And while they're digging, if you've ever did some demo work or something, when you're making a hole in a ceiling, where does the dirt go? Straight down. So where this hole is appearing in the ceiling, was dirt falling on Jesus? Was it falling on the crowd? And who was sitting there saying, who's going to pay for this? Who's going to clean up the mess? What? And why did they wait until the hole got big enough to let their friend down? And then he's lowered down, and so somebody had lots of faith. Well, then Jesus said, hey, he marveled at their faith that they would bring their friend, do all of that, and see him get healed. And so thinking back 25 years ago, I was a mere child of 27 years old, and God laid on my heart a couple of kids in the town of Smokestown and said, hang out with them. And so I'm sitting here this morning thinking, how far in the future could I envision? And I think I could only envision the next day. It was just showing up the next day and the next day and the next day. And here it is 25 years later. So before I share some more, you know what, I'll keep going here. This is good. So we started at the Smokestown Fire Hall, And it's a little town, you know where it's at, right behind the old Zinn's Diner. And we were there 12 years until we moved over to our current location next to Four Seasons Produce on Wabash Road. And so we're hanging out with a couple of kids, and I only remember ever inviting kids prior to opening. After that, in 25 years, we have never invited children to be a part of Crossfire. We don't send out flyers. We don't have Bring a Friend Day. It's hurting kids draw hurting kids. And so as some children found a home and a family, they kept bringing their friends. They kept saying, hey, you've got to come and be a part of this. And so from 1992 till today, a good estimate is over 5,000 children within the Denver, Cocalico School District area have come and gone through our doors. And just the other night, I met with a young man late at night, and I'm like, how old are you now? Because I remember him being 13 years old, and he's turning 40. I'm like, okay, that was a long time ago. And his wife laughed and said, you know, I think all our friends did the Crossfire thing when we were growing up. So God has done, we have planted tremendous seeds all through this community. I started picking up kids in an old blue pickup truck and would take them along to church. And when that filled up, then we used a car. And when that filled up, we used a 15-passenger van. And I think we're getting like 18 or 20 kids in that 15-passenger van. And then someone said, why don't you buy a school bus? So we bought a school bus. And currently we have two school buses. And you've seen them. They're blue and white. They drive all through the community and have a loud, obnoxious horn so that you know I'm coming through. So we pick up students from through Reinhold's, through Adamstown, around the Hill Road, and then most of the kids are come from Denver. I think I'm on about every street in Denver. I do door-to-door pickups on a Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. On a Wednesday night, we have our elementary kids, and they come sometimes as young as 4 years old. I don't go younger than that because I don't do diapers. That was a long time ago. And so they come as young as fourth through fourth grade, and then Thursday night is middle school, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, and Friday night high school, eighth through 12th grade. And on a Wednesday night, that is the lifeblood of the ministry. We'll get, and you'll get to see, between 50 and 60 elementary kids are a part of that crew. And the first generation, they were, don't tell us about God. We're not interested. And they kept us at arm's length. This generation is, you'll get to see them in a second, and they are wide open to loving God, learning about God. I have a little table in the back with a mailing list sign up, and I also have some papers or notes that kids wrote, and they write on, I love God, I love you, Jim, and they are learning about God, and you'll get to see them singing and enjoying in just a moment. The bus, when I drive around, the kids love it. They're standing on the sidewalk, they're jumping up and down, they're running, they can't wait to get on the bus to go to Crossfire. I'll get into some of the other stuff later. I think I've anticipated enough to see some inside of what goes on at Crossfire.
I'm
mother attended when she was 6 years old. Then I'll share another short video of our Ashland Youth Center. So we currently have over 20 volunteers that come in all ages to help minister to these kids and keep some sanity there. You know, the one picture during free time looked very chaotic, and it is, but as long as it's happy noises, life is good. We also have probably about 10 what I call junior helpers. They're middle school or high school students who come on a Wednesday night to help out with the kids. And they help run the program. They're helping take the younger ones to the bathroom. They're helping with games. And they help bring some peace there. There is the one picture, we were serving a meal. And a home group from Parkview Mennonite Church, they have selected one Wednesday night a month for the year, and this will be their third year, where they send a home group over, they provide a meal, whether it's pizza or mac and cheese or whatever, and feed the kids. And that's something the kids look forward to. One of the ladies, she's older than I am, and she had said, "Hey, my grandkids all moved out of state. Do you have any grandkids at Crossfire?" And I said, "We got a lot." And so she came over, and I just started connecting her with one child at a time. And I think she's only been here 3 weeks. This will be her fourth week coming up. And when she walks into the Crossfire, all these little girls now start yelling, "Grandma's here! Grandma's here!" And so It's doing a work in her heart, plus these little girls and boys have an extra grandma around. A lot of our volunteers, they don't come there just to serve because it's out of obligation. They're seeing it as a part of their ministry, that it's doing as much for them as they are helping out with Crossfire. One of our volunteers is a grandmother, and she is raising four of her own grandchildren. Her son was dysfunctional and moved out of state and abandoned four children behind. And I remember the first night, probably about 4 years ago, that she connected with us. And she came there, and this little girl, probably about 9 years old, and, you know, her father had recently abandoned him, and she was there and just empty. And I'm sitting there watching. You got to see how we had a gentleman pray with the kids. So the children are familiar with circling up, laying hands, praying. And so I said, Grandma, I said, do you mind if I have you sit on the middle of the floor with your granddaughter and can we pray for you? And she's like, she was broken and life was a mess. And she's like, please do. And then I said, wait, I said, the first kids that I want to move are those if you don't have a father in your life. And 20 children surrounded them. And I remember the look on that little girl's face as she became alive that night, realizing she isn't alone, that there are others around and she'll be okay. That family has continued to serve at Crossfire and being a blessing over the past 4 years. Let me see, what else do I want to... Yeah, we have probably 13 years ago, so at Crossfire here at Ephrata, what we essentially do is provide a family for hurting kids in our community. And they are fatherless, and I'll get into some stories to wrap up on some of the kids. But they are kids that are looking for a family, looking for a place to belong. And God has blessed us with the opportunity to provide that family for them. And that's what keeps kids coming and coming. And they're bringing their friends. And we're seeing new kids every week that are coming to be a part of this. So 13 years ago, God laid on my heart the little town of Ashland, which is an hour and 15 minutes north. It's near the town of Centralia that no longer exists because that has the coal mine, the fire burning underneath. And I knew nothing about the town, but God said, go to Ashland. So we went to Ashland, and I remember driving down the street with some friends, and they said, we were looking to say, God, who do we talk to? We don't. It's like driving through Adamstown. Who would you stop and see to say, hey, why are we here? And so we're driving down the road, and this nurse at a high rise that takes care of veterans or disabled people, she's sitting outside with this gentleman, and as we drive past, she waves. And they're like, that lady just waved at us. And I'm like, that's her. So we stopped, I ran back, and I said, we're from a ministry in Ephrata. God told us to come here. Why are we here? And I thought, I'll put it like that to see what her response is. She'll either say, you're goofy, go away, or she started shaking, and she's like, oh, my word, I go to this church, and they just received a donation of another church building for a youth ministry, and we've been renovating it, and we're out of money, and we're out of people who gave up hope, and it's just sitting blah. And she goes, maybe that's why. And so she put me in touch with her pastor. You guys might be more spiritual than I am, but I don't think I have my pastor's phone number in my phone. But she pulls out her phone, and she goes, here, let me give you my pastor's number. And so I connected with them, ended up for 1 year taking people, and some of you might have gone with us to renovate this little church building. And they ran it, this church ran it for 2 years, and decided they didn't want it, so they sold it to Crossfire in 2007 for $1 and said, take it. And so there was a couple of kids that we were working with, and it grew, it flourished. A couple years ago, we allowed another individual to take over and help out up there, and it got run in the ground. So I think probably about 3 years ago, I went back up to Ashland and to rejuvenate it. And we had, I think there's two children that were still part of the program. And for the next year and a half or more, we had between 4 to 8 children that would attend. And the one boy was like, Jimmy said, I'm so scared that you're going to close this thing down if we don't get more kids here. And I said, no, I usually only make a mistake once. And so we kept plugging away. And probably about 8 months ago, the doors opened in that community. And currently we're seeing upwards to over 30 children every Tuesday night and Saturday morning. And more kids are coming. These little children are going into their school saying, you got to come with me. And this past week, one of the school teachers came out with her three children, and they were just, we'll be back. They just loved it. And after they left, the one lady told me that those three kids, their father just went to jail for a long time, so they need to be here. So God is bringing hurting kids, and we're looking at now probably a base of about 40 to 50 kids in the Ashland community. And so we're seeing the same thing that's happening here at Ephrata birth itself in Ashland, where there are families and children that are broken and hurting that are looking for a place to hang out. So let me show you a clip of what we're doing in Ashland. And I'm not keeping track of my time, so if you get up and walk out on me, I know that I extended my time. I'll wrap up with a couple of stories of the kids that we're dealing with. I would say over 90% of our kids come from broken homes, and many, a great percentage of that are fatherless homes. A young lady recently, I think she's only been a part of Crossfire for about four or five weeks now. She lives with three siblings and a mom and dad in a motel room out here at the Econo Lodge. And if you're ever thinking, is there ministries in this area that we could do, I would point you to some of the motels where there are families living in them for months and months and months at a time. This little girl, when she came out to Crossfire, she was just blown away. And she would, I mean, if you live your months in a motel room with your family, and she comes out here and she goes, I'm inviting all my friends at school. And she is filling up her Thursday night at Crossfire Middle Schoolers because she's going to school. You've got to come and see what I have found. There's a young boy, and I don't share names around here because you might know them, and they might not be excited about knowing that I'm talking about them, so I do things very vague. Up in Ashland, I'll tell you them. There's a young boy, a 13-year-old boy, and his mom that are living in a motel room, and they've been in there for months and months. And so every Thursday night, my son goes there and picks him up right after school, brings him out early to spend time with him at Crossfire just to get him away. Have to get my wheels spinning when summer comes. What are we going to do for these kids to give them something? Yeah, one of the other things, now this doesn't deal with the kid, but it's something that happened at Crossfire to share ministry in the community. I almost had a guest with me today, and last night he bailed out, not because he was embarrassed, but because other things came up. But this guy is a 40-year-old guy who two months ago was high on heroin. As a matter of fact, he did 20 baggies of heroin, which blows me away. He ended up inside a Crossfire barn late one night and stole some money. And we set out to find him. And I put his picture on Facebook. Some of you might have seen it. It got shared tons of times. And it went all over America. A lady from Ephrata called me and said, "Hey, I know who this is. It's Don." And I'm like, "No, are you sure?" And she goes, "No, I am positive." So anyway, long story short, we found Don, and he had checked himself into rehab down near Philly. The detective working on the case went down, and Don said, "Hey, I've changed, turned my life around." And because he grew up in a church, and he said, "I turned my life around. I want to make things right. I want to go, and I want to meet Jim." So a couple weeks ago, probably a month ago, the detective brought Don out to me, and we met. And as we're there talking, and I'm just sharing Jesus with him, the detective was like, "Stop, stop, stop." He said, "I got to interject." He goes, "In my 21 years of being a detective, I have never witnessed what's going on here. Go ahead, keep going." And so then later he told me, he went home and told his wife, "Hey, we need to get to church." And so you never know where God is leading. But this young man has been with me to our fellowship at Ephrata Community Church for 3 weeks now. And his wife had went along, and she is petrified of church. So I knew something is happening when she came along with. And so I almost had him here this morning, but something else came up. So it's just cool to see how a burglar can go to a brother in a miracle. All right, a couple quick other stories. Up in Ashland, we have a 12-year-old brother who brings his two, I think they're twin siblings, that are about 6-7 years old. And those kids are growing up in a fatherless home, and mom does not care where they're at, what they're doing. They just run. When those little kids come to the youth center, what struck me is both the little girl and the little boy will just stare at me. They'll just look at me, and not a blank stare. They'll just be like beaming. They just keep their eyes locked. And during devotion times, they want to just sit on my lap and just hold me and be loved. And I'm like, you know, if they don't get this at home, they're looking for it. And so we're providing a place for them. And those kids, I can tell you, they're going to be there Tuesday night when I go up. They'll be there every Saturday, every Tuesday. They never miss a beat. Two other brothers that are attending, in the past year, we've seen them come tremendously. The 13-year-old now brother, whenever I'd have to discipline him or reprimand him, he would just fall over on the floor and just curl up and scream. And it's like, okay, this is weird. So I called mom, and I'm like, "Mom, what is going on with this, with your son?" And she goes, she said, "That started a year and a half ago, when my husband shot himself and committed suicide." And I'm like, so we've been paying special attention to these boys. And now this young boy who's 13, he shows up early. He wants to help me get the food ready. He wants to vacuum. He wants anything that he can do. He wants to help just be a part of it. And so these are the kids we're finding and the families that we get to connect. One evening, we had the youth center open up in Ashland, and a grandmother was walking her three grandkids through town, and she's like, stopped, and what's going on here? I told her, you know, youth ministry, and she got all excited and said, when I was a little girl, I went to one down in Reading. And she goes, I was a part of that. She goes, you got my grandkids and left them hang out, and they've been with us for a couple months now, and they are there every single night that we're open because they live with Grandma. And so they are looking for some place to be loved and accepted. Another young man, young boy, lives with his aunt over here in the Ephrata Women and Children's Center. And so God keeps bringing kids that we can pour love into. Last one, there's a young boy up in Ashland who, one of the past Tuesday nights, Tuesday night is always full. It would have been a Saturday morning. Things were going through town, and so only six kids showed up. And so he was one of them. So we had a great time to sit and chat. And I'm like, hey, tell me about your family. And he's like, oh, I live with my mom and my stepdad. And I'm like, when was the last time you saw your dad? And he goes, that would have been about 6 years ago. And so it's like, these are the kids that our communities are filled with hurting children. I grew up in a home, my mom and dad are here, and they love the Lord, and my aunts and uncles love the Lord, and my grandparents love the Lord, and I always thought families love each other and care for each other. I never knew the other side until God opened the doors to start Crossfire Youth Ministries, and the need is overwhelming. And so with that, if you would like to stay, keep in touch, we have, there's a mailing list on the back table, or an email list that we send out a monthly newsletter with some pictures and some stuff that's going on. And, love to keep in touch with you. I'll be available if you want to talk or ask some questions afterwards. But, I thank you so much for listening, for, being attentive. And for just hearing, last thing is, if you're saying, how can I get involved? God can use you, just like he used this grandmother at Crossfire, out here at Ephrata. Doesn't matter what your age is. If you're saying, I could give 1 hour in an evening, there would be kids who would love to be your friend, who would love to know, do you care about me? On a night sometimes at Crossfire, I might have three or four kids that I'm trying to play a game with simultaneously. One night, I'm throwing football with two different kids and kicking a soccer ball with the third, and they're, Jim, Jim, Jim. There comes Jim, Jim, Jim. And I'm like, wow, we could use lots of helpers to help pay single attention to each one of these kids. So thank you for listening, and may God bless the rest of your time here. Thank you.
One verse of America the Beautiful. We'll try it here.
morning. My name is Jeff Hain. I'm the pastor at Emmanuel EC, and I have to correct something that Phil said earlier. He said we partner together to make this happen. If 95%, 5% is partnering, that's partnering, all right? Phil does the bulk of the work, and I would like the community here basically to thank him for the effort. Please give him a round of applause, all right? These are the Horning brothers, Phil and Jim, not related, but they are brothers in Christ. And I had the privilege to meet Jim a few weeks ago for breakfast and enjoyed it immensely. And what a program, huh? I learned a lot of things that morning at the breakfast. I learned a lot more here. But one thing I really appreciate, and I'm going to try it next week in the sermon, about halfway through I'm going to say, that's good, I'm going to keep going. All right? Because I never heard a preacher do that before, and that worked very, very well. I don't know if it'll work on my congregation. They're already too used to me. But anyway, you've heard a wonderful program, a wonderful ministry that's affecting not only our community and the area, but of course it's extended even up into Ashland. And there's a calling here. Jim obviously felt a calling years ago, responded to that calling, and God has blessed that. There's ups and downs, but you can see that there is fruit that God is blessing this ministry with. And if the Holy Spirit is working on you this morning as how you can help, I mean, Jim's already expressed that if you have time, use it. Contact Jim, see how you can fit in, where you can help, what you can do. Also, you do accept donations, don't you? Yes, yeah, sometimes. All right. Well, you find out from Jim when he accepts donations, and if you can't give time, then, you know, send money. I mean, a lot of people, I know college kids that say, hey, Mom and Dad, I don't have any time right now, but send money. Jim will take money. But the Lord is obviously working here, and we don't want to make light of these things. There are hurting kids all around us. And I grew up very insulated. Jim talked about an insulated upbringing. I think I was very insulated. Families were normal. The kids I hung around with were normal. By our standards. But a lot of these kids don't know what normal is. Our normal for them is something that would be tragic. And it is tragic because it's not God's intent. And where we can fit in, where we can help. And so we want to be praying for Crossfire Ministries. We want to be supporting Crossfire Ministries and doing whatever we possibly can to serve the Lord in this community. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Eternal God and Father, we do praise you. We thank you. We thank you for this worship service. We thank you for the ability to come together from various faith backgrounds and just enjoy one another's company, the fellowship and worship, the singing of hymns and praises, to remember what you have done, to remember those that have paid the price, the sacrifice of time and sometimes the ultimate sacrifice to be sure that we can have this type of freedom, that we can gather here without fear, and so many have sacrificed. But we also want to remember those that have gone before us who have had a legacy of love and a testimony of faith, a real commitment to Jesus Christ, and have passed that on to family and friends. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the churches in the area. We ask your blessing upon the ministries that are active in this area as they are faithful and submissive to you, sharing the truth about Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless Crossfire Ministries. I ask, Lord, that you bless each one here, for I'm sure, Lord, in our midst we have veterans. We have individuals that all of us here have suffered loss at some point. We have lost a loved one. There are individuals in our memories that have been formative in our own lives and have helped us to shape us, that we might have that type of relationship with Jesus Christ that is so necessary to come into your kingdom. And let us not forget these children, these suffering children that are around us, not just here, but in communities surrounding us and even throughout the world, that are living without a parent or parents to help them. And where we can step in, Lord, give us that motivation and that love and that true compassion to share in the ministry that you have called all of us to. And we rejoice in all of this, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.